Hey everybody, this is Greg Farrow, the campaigns manager of the Free Software Foundation. I'm here with Zoe Koyman, the executive director of the Free Software Foundation. Zoe, do you want to introduce yourself, introduce the work of the FSF and the guests that we have today?
Oh yeah, sure. So my name is Zoe Koyman. I'm the executive director of the Free Software Foundation, and this is a podcast basically coming 2 days after our 40th anniversary. So 40 years of commitment to software freedom. So the FSF has as a mission to defend the rights of computer users worldwide. And we do that in the form of running advocacy campaigns to promote the philosophy of free software and talk about what free software is. We are the fiscal sponsors for the GNU project, which is of course the original free software operating system as founded and started by Richard Stallman in 1983. And we do licensing, and in our licensing team we focus on defending the GNU General Public License, which is a strong copyleft license, which is of course the strategy with which we protect software freedom. So for everyone listening that doesn't know what copyleft is, it's a structure of copyright where we tell everyone that uses the software that we create, but copyleft is also something used in free culture, for example. So anything, any product that you make, you have a license to use it and to edit it just as you like, and then to distribute it again under the condition that you have to redistribute it under the same license. And that means that everyone that uses your modified version of the software, or in some cases another piece of art, material, cultural work, gets the same freedoms as the ones that you receive. So always a right to study the software, to edit it, and to share it with your friends, and to distribute it. And then, of course, we have a tech team, and our tech team runs, like I said, the infrastructure for what I mentioned before, the GNU project, and a couple other free software projects that are important for the community. For example, Triskel, the free operating system that a lot of free software users use. And they also run our entire system of the office on free software. So we as an organization do every single thing that we do in freedom, and that's a place that we would love other people to be at as well. So in short, that is what we do at the Free Software Foundation, and we run several projects to sort of make a significant difference for people in their software usage or in their computing, and we want to free up, of course, as many people as we can. And that is one of the reasons why we're here today talking about a project that we have just recently launched, and we have invited Rob Savoy to join us today. So Rob, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I've been working on the GNU toolchain full-time, mostly on and off, since the late 1980s. And with a big focus on embedded systems, background with hardware bring up, board support packages, all the really fun hardware, software, glue layer stuff. I actually think it's kind of fun to work on. And so, yeah, so I'm kind of excited to be jumping into this project to do much more of that.
Yeah, definitely. So Zoe, I guess one question that comes to mind is, as much as we like him, people are probably wondering, why is Rob here? Can you answer that?
Yes, I can definitely answer that. Actually, I'm pretty excited to answer that. So FSF has been working on software freedom and computing for about 40 years now. And as part of that anniversary, we started reflecting on one of the biggest gaps that we had, which is obstructing freedom for users. And that is, of course, mobile phones. A lot of the work that we do at the FSF is focused on actual computing, desktop computing, laptops, things like that. But we haven't made a lot of progress in mobile phones. And of course, most individuals do much or cannot even really get around doing their computing on mobile phones. So even though there's a lot of work to be done in mobile phone freedom, mobile phone computing remains largely non-free due to a range of non-free software blobs that are proprietary and even the most progressive, what they call free software operating systems. So we want to build on the work that's already being done by some of these projects that a lot of people already know. One of these projects is actually a free software project as well called Replicant, which is a project that the FSF also is a fiscal sponsor for. But then we're also talking about projects like GrapheneOS, which is, of course, not an entirely free project. LineageOS, same story. And then there's CalyxOS, which is also not entirely free, and unfortunately also temporarily suspended right now. And then what we want to do is we want to free up the blobs that will get us to mobile phone software freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. And like as we said at the original announcement, our project is called LibraPhone. Rob, you know, I know we've been talking about this for, I guess, a couple hours total over the time that we've spent together. But if I was just coming to you and I asked, what is LibraPhone, how would you answer?
Boy, we're trying to free up people from the software that controls the hardware on their phone that nobody knows how it works. Maybe it's leaking private information, like who really knows? And so we're attempting to free up kind of that last big black box that controls kind of how we use our devices.
So just to be clear, Rob, can you just talk a little bit about, we are not developing a free mobile phone operating system, right?
Yeah, correct. We are not actually going to build like yet another fork of Android open source project or any of that kind of stuff. There's plenty of people doing that, but they all ship the exact same binary blobs. And so we're focusing on kind of reverse engineering that low-level software that would actually be shared by multiple of the mobile operating systems. So we're not actually specifically focused on that. We don't want to do the whole operating system. That's an entire project by itself. There's a lot of people in that space. So in a lot of ways, you know, they'll benefit by the work we're going to do. And of course, I'll be benefiting this project by the work that they do as well.
So can you just to clarify and explain a little bit more for the users, give us some examples of some of these low-level blobs that you mentioned?
So a simple blob, Bluetooth. So Bluetooth, you know, at one point was basically, you know, a separate chipset. Now it's built into the SoC. But yes, so if you want to have Bluetooth to your headset, to your stereo, to, you know, your car, whatever your Bluetooth thing is, the software that actually does the Bluetooth communication is a binary blob that nobody knows how it works. And so part of what we want to do is figure out how that works. Same thing, Wi-Fi. Your touch screen, your fingerprint sensor, all these things have a proprietary blob that nobody knows how they kind of work. And so we kind of want to know how they work. And then ultimately, once we understand how they work, write free replacements for them so that they're no longer needed. Otherwise, you wind up with a phone that actually doesn't work.
Right. To be completely clear, so if I download either GrapheneOS, LineageOS, or CalyxOS, to mention some of the ones that we mentioned before, they are for a large part they're free software. But then indeed, a lot of these, for example, Bluetooth or the touchscreen, there's software around it that can be found in most of these operating systems that is actually still non-free, right?
Yeah. Exactly. They'll benefit a lot by this work because I think all these other people would like to get rid of the binary blobs. It's just an entire project by itself. So they focus on getting as close as they can get to being as free as possible. We can supply that last missing piece for a completely free phone.
Yes. And we are very excited about starting to do that. So, Craig, why is LibraPhone needed?
Well, you know, we were talking about Replicant earlier, and Replicant is, of course, you know, I like to call it state of the art when it comes to freedom. Like, so when you know, if you have a device that supports Replicant and you install it, Replicant will strip out, you know, most of the binary blobs. Of course, there's still the mobile baseband, which we won't, you know, talk about right now. But you know, it strips them out. So you might have Replicant on a phone, but you won't have working Wi-Fi on the phone, or you won't have working Bluetooth on the phone, kind of, you know, like Rob was mentioning. So Librephone is a project that, you know, is looking for or working for a world where, you know, you do have Wi-Fi on your phone running for your software, you do have Bluetooth on your phone running for your software. In fact, all of your hardware is supported because of a very long research and development and ultimately a reverse engineering project to bring those you know, binary blobs into the free world.
Right. And then, of course, like we said before, most individuals actually do a large part of their computing on mobile phones today. And we are very thankful that there have been projects that have been working on these, what they call free software operating systems. And as they are gaining in popularity, we want to make sure that we sort of bring them home and close the gap there and have them computing in full software freedom. And we think that with the work we will be doing, we'll be benefiting not only one particular operating system, but indeed multiple. And that will set us, or how do you say that in English again? It will bring us miles ahead in bringing us to mobile phone software freedom, because of course the work that we will be doing, people can build on that for years to come is the plan. So FSF has partnered with Rob to start doing to start this project. So we started in August, and we started doing, of course, a research and development phase first. So we have set up with Rob for about 6 months to really analyze what is currently out there, what projects are there, what kinds of blobs do we need to be looking at, and also sort of what are the systems that are out there now that have most of these blobs coming back, and which would be like the best choice to make a start on. And then of course Rob can go into detail a little bit further on this, but after that, just to give you sort of the highlights of what we are foreseeing after that, what we'll be doing is we'll be defining the project, we'll be choosing a system, and we will be analyzing that thoroughly. We will be going through all of the different blobs that are there, and then we will have to reverse engineer them. Now, as I'm sort of talking through this, we are talking about a project that could potentially be years, right, Rob?
Yeah, I think of equivalent projects like GNU Radio, which is another classic reverse engineering project.
So yeah, what are your first goals and targets, Rob? Can you tell us a little bit about that, about the work that you're doing now and how you see it coming together in a couple months from now?
Yeah, so initially, instead of just kind of launching off on whatever phone I happen to own, I decided it was actually worth doing like kind of serious research. There's often variations in the hardware chipsets on phones that may make them easier or harder to reverse engineer. And so one of the things I did was, since the Lineage OS project very nicely has all of their install packages up on their website, I managed to download all 215 packages and extract all the binary files. And so I've been kind of looking through all the different firmware and what chipsets, what the functionality is. And then kind of the goal of that is in the near term is to kind of figure out what's going to be the best development device. Ideally, some kind of SoC that's maybe used by multiple manufacturers. Same thing for chipsets. We don't really want to support anything that's kind of a one-off hardware, for example. And because this project may take several years, we also want to have hardware that we can all still buy a few years from now on eBay or somewhere else. So basically my goal was to actually do a really deeply researched, thought out plan. And then at that point, it's just a matter of collecting some of the resources to start actually documenting the specifications to replace the blobs, bringing in other contractors, things like that. But right now, I'm just kind of actually going to have a really good idea what we think we're going to do rather than just launching off with no real plan.
Let's talk a little bit about how people can help, of course, because you're not going to do this all alone, are you?
No, this project's way too big for one person.
So the FSF was funded initially by John Gilmer, who gave us a really generous donation, and that will sort of keep us going to make sure that we define the project timeline and the next step. We will, of course, need additional funding, so we will be sourcing that as we go along and go through these projects for the coming years. We will also be keeping everyone, of course, in the loop on where we are with these different kinds of steps that we need to go through, and we will be reporting as we do the work. And ROM has already started a lot of the documentation, and as we go live, we will be launching also places where that documentation can be found. So, Rob, what else do we need?
Help. So this is a really big project. If we actually want to have workable replacements for the binary blobs within a reasonable amount of time, it needs multiple people. I mean, you're looking at your average phone, there's 5, 6, 7 different pieces of firmware. So ideally what we need is people with reverse engineering skill sets to work on that as volunteers, preferably funding to actually pay people, because these reverse engineering skill sets aren't super common. And so ultimately being able to fund some contractors actually working on the implementations of these blobs. Because of the way the legalities are here in the US, I'm primarily focusing on the specifications and the initial reverse engineering, and then we will need the people to actually implement the specifications to kind of stick to the clean room process there. So yes, we need motivated people. There's a lot of people also working on various pieces of free phones, so we'd love to invite them to sort of loosely join this project with their own contributions, maybe stuff that's not directly firmware related, but there's other pieces on a truly free phone. So we kind of encourage everybody to like, hey, let's jump in together.
Yeah, tell us what you're working on and we will look at it and we will see how we can help each other for sure. So what if I'm not super technical, Rob? Is there a way that I can help as well?
So documentation. I've been trying to write documentation, but I've been told in the past that it's usually very dense. So people that can actually turn it into something that normal people who aren't embedded systems engineers could read would be helpful. Ultimately, there are people have put deep time into some of this firmware. You know, some people are really into Broadcom chips and some people are into MediaTek. So I would love to hear from people that actually do have some direct experience with some of the manufacturers of the chipsets we're looking on and things like that. So I think there's a lot of ways people can help. And of course, funding. So if you're not an engineer, well, you can help fund an engineer. It all works. And I think as time goes on, there'll be other stuff. Eventually, we'll need testing and all that other kind of stuff. But as I said, we're still just getting the R&D phase launched.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's very good to know. And then, of course, one thing that we say at the FSF always is also talk. Talk about the project. Talk about the need for free software. Talk about why you want to free up your mobile phone. Talk about the system that you're already running and why it's not completely free yet and how they can help to get us there. Because who knows, maybe the person that you're talking to is the person that is going to make a significant difference in this project. Greg? I suppose we also have a bunch of places where people can meet up with each other or read more about the project. Do you want to go through a little bit of that?
Yeah, we do. I mean, and thanks to the magic of time travel, by the time that this episode goes out, we will have launched a website for the project at librophone.fsf.org. If for whatever reason you do not see it, you will see it on the front page of fsf.org, that is Free Software Foundation. So like all hackers, we have a particular fondness for IRC. So if you're on IRC, we have set up a pound Librophone IRC channel on the libra.chat IRC network. Of course, you know, if you want to get involved with the FSF or GNU on a more general level, you know, all that information is on fsf.org and GNU.org. It's not just Librophone that needs help. Any aspect of the free software, you know, movement of using free software, of GNU Linux, all of it needs, you know, some kind of help. And if you'd like to donate to the FSF, you can do that at fsf.org/donate, or ideally, the thing that helps us the most and which forms the vast, vast majority of our funding is our associate membership program. And if you're not an associate member, you can join up at fsf.org/join. So To make a long story short, there are multiple ways to get involved in the LibreFund project, and there are just literally hundreds of opportunities to get involved in free software generally, whether that's bug reports, documentation, actual development, advocacy, which is what we do here on the FSF campaigns team. You know, anything that you can do is going to help the free software movement succeed for sure.
Yeah, so Rob, do you have any last thoughts that you want to share with us?
Let's go do it.
Hey.
Let's do it. Yeah.
This is going to be a hard and challenging project, but they're also the most fun.
Yes, and it's significant. Like, it's going to make a significant difference for the future, and we're all very excited to start it. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks, Rob, for joining us and for teaming up with us on this project. Very excited.
Let's go do it. Yeah.